Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Today we look and follow the subject of the giant killer. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 2 is where we'll begin. The theme of our study now is trust and obey. The giant killer. Will you stand as we read from the Word of God? Of course, we know this being the story of David and the giant Goliath. I love this story. It's one of those good guy, bad guy stories, and good guy always wins, you know? The giant killer, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 2 says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. The bronze armor on his legs, and he had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Again, let us turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we look to you, Lord, for all we need to fight the giants of this life. May we never cower. May we never withdraw. May we never fall, but ever press forward for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you have any giants? Do you? Things that scare you? Things that, for all practical purposes, have beaten you? Do you have any giants? Do you? That's a question I'm asking you, okay? I scared you with that moment of silence beforehand, didn't I? Okay, I understand. You know, we all have to face giants. And I look at this, and like I said, it's the ultimate story of the little guy, the underdog, who's not supposed to win, who has victory through his great God. As I look at this, and I want you to get the picture of the battle that's set between Israel and the Philistines. The Philistines are lined up for battle. They're on the side of one mountain, let's say on the right side. You've got the armies of the Philistines. They're lined up, suited up, and they're ready to go to battle against Israel, who's on the side of this other mountain. All that's between Israel and the enemy is the valley. Israel's lined up. They're ready to go. They're shouting, you know, victory is ours. And the Philistines lined up over here. They're shouting, victory is ours. And right before they all take off to meet down in the valley, this big giant of a man steps out from the camp of the Philistines. He is big. Huge, known as the champion of the Philistines. That's the word that that the text used. That word champion is an interesting Hebrew word. It means the manly one. He was a man of men. Today we might have called him, we would have said he was the man. Everybody was afraid of him. Approximately 9.5 feet tall. That's big. He wore a coat of armor. This coat of armor itself weighed 125 pounds. The spear that he used, the shaft of that spear, it said it was like a weaver's beam. Now, a weaver's beam was the beam that held the weaving machine, whatever they call that, into place. It was a beam, okay? The loom, that's what they call it, the loom, right? I'm sorry, a little slow today, forgive me. The spear head, the iron spear head on the end of his spear weighed 15 pounds. This was a man. He was a bad man, as we might say. And anyone standing that would come up beside him, it didn't matter who it was, whether it was David, whether it was one of David's brothers, whether it was Saul himself, standing beside this guy, you would look like a big old sissy. People would say, man, you don't have a chance. Here's the guy that as the battle lines are drawn, everybody's ready to fight. He steps out and he shouts, and he shouts to abuse the armies of Israel. I defy anyone in the army of Israel. I defy you. Come face me. And it big old bully. Yeah, can't you just see this big old bully step out? Says, come on. If you kill me, then we'll be your servants. Or the Philistines will be your servants. But if I kill you, then you will serve the Philistines. Come on. Send me your best guy. I don't care who it is. Twice a day he did this. Morning and evening. If you read the rest of this chapter, you find also that it went on for 40 days. Morning and evening. Every day he would go out in the morning and make his challenge. And you know, every day the same thing happened. You know, the armies are gathered and you think there's going to be a big fight until this big bully steps out and says, come on, send me your best guy. And the armies of Israel flee. Same thing. Over and over for 40 days. And you know, as you think about that, now imagine going through that 40 days. At some point, somebody's going to have to think, hey, somebody's going to have to fight the giant. Doesn't that make sense? Somebody's going to have to step up and say, okay, I'll be the guy. But Israel and all their army, they didn't have anybody who would step up and say, I'm your guy. It's kind of like we are in general people, right? We want victory, but we don't want to fight the battle to get to victory. You know what I'm saying? But I've also discovered if there's going to be victory, there's going to be a battle. Doesn't it make sense? For example, how many young people, teenagers, all right? How many of you want a good teenager? If you're a teenager, would you just say amen to me? Just so I know I got your attention. I heard one over there. That wasn't a teenage voice. There you go. I guess it was. All right. If you're a teenager, how many of you want to get a good job? Come on. They're saying, job, what is that? Okay, let me rephrase my question. How many of you want to make good money when you grow up? Amen. There you go. How many of you want a $100,000 a year job? Too low? $200,000 a year job. Come on. Three. How about let's just make it a smooth, cool million every year. You want that? Come on, kids. You want that? You know what? It doesn't just happen. You know, you can want all you want to, but until you're willing to face the giants and do what it takes to get there, it's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Until you're willing to get that education, until you're willing to do the training programs, until you're willing to work hard, until you're willing to put yourself in those positions, face the giants that you have to face, you're not going to get that $1 million a year job. But you know, it's not. We adults are the same, are we not? I mean, how many of us don't want nice homes, good cars? How many of us don't want to have our bills paid and not have to worry about where the next dollar is going to come from? We all do, amen? But what do we have to do to get there? We have to face the giants. One thing we have to do is get a job. And there are some people in this country don't want to work. I don't feel sorry for you if you don't want to work, okay? It's you've got to be willing to go through the trouble. That's the point. The same is true spiritually speaking. You know, in churches. How many of you, how many of the membership of Victory want Victory to be a vibrant, growing church? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. How many of you want to see souls saved through the ministries of Victory? Amen. You know what? How many of you are willing to face the giants to get us there? You know? It doesn't just happen. I bring that up because the church has become a very spectator-oriented sport today, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, we go to church and we hear some really good music and it had a really good time and we go home and we don't have to worry about it anymore until next week. That's not the way it works. That's not the idea. The idea is that you're involved in the work of the Lord. If you want to be a part of the great church, you have to be a part of the battle. For example, somebody's got to teach the junior high boys. You know what I'm saying? There's your giant. You want to be a part of a great church, you've got to be willing to give your tithes and offerings. Amen? You want to be part of a great church, you've got to be willing to face the giants, whatever they are. Victory is a great church. She has people ready to face those giants. And I want to tell you, we've got a giant coming up. Actually, it's not really a giant anymore to me, but it may be to you. We've got a building program. Oh, man. I'm excited about that. It's a great... But see, we've got to come up with the choice. We're coming up on, I think next Sunday night, we're having that provisional business meeting and we're going to have to make a choice, you know? Just like Goliath goes out and he says, choose your best man. We've got to make a choice. We've got numbers back on the new building. Are you ready? Do me a favor. Do me a favor. Grab the pew beside you and go. Hold on so, you know, don't want you to fall over. Hold your breath. It's a little more than we thought. You'd never guess that, would you? You'd never guess that. Well, we were estimating $750,000. The estimate is now $866,000. That wasn't even a big gasp, was it? I was expecting, wow! But you know, there are several ways that we can respond. We can be paralyzed with fear like the Israelites. Goliath steps out and makes a challenge. Come on, send me your best guy. Not me, I'm running. I'm getting out of town. We can be those who were like, I guess, the Israelites who say, well, got to wait a while. Let's see how this thing turns out. They went for 40 days. And guess what? The giant didn't go away. He was there. Every morning, every evening. I wonder how long this was going to go on had David not stepped in. There'll be even those who say, "Oh, Brother Doug, no problem. Let's do it." But they never give a dime toward that project. That's not how you face giants. Not how you do it. You know? Then there'll be the giant killers willing to step out on faith and be used of God. Lord, whatever it takes, we see the need. Lord, whatever we need to do, that's what we want to do. Lord, I'll not cower in fear. I'll do as you lead. You know, and after we received it, I received the word. And really, you know, that's not a big deal. Honestly, God has raised up over half the funds for this project in the last 6 months. It's not a giant. But when I got to where I said, okay, now I need to pray about it. And so I start praying. And it was as though God said, and I did not hear an audible voice, but it was a God speaking spiritually. I said, "Lord, what should we do?" You know, and I shared with Brother Greg. It was as though the Lord said to me, "Do you want me to send you a certified letter? Do you not get it yet? I've set this in motion. In 6 months, I have given you half the funds. Everything that's on that is needed ministries. It's not something that's a luxury. What's your problem?" You know? It was just so very clear. And I'm like, you know, Lord, you're right. You have led. You have blessed. You have provided. Everything is set before us. What decision, what question is there? There is none. All we need to do is move forward. You see, that's the difference between a vibrant, growing, thriving church and one in which nothing ever happens. A church that nothing ever happens will sit there on their fingers and try to put things off and back things up. And when God says, "Look at what I've already done," are your eyes not yet open? Oh, and listen. This message is not just about building programs. This message is about life. Okay? See, all too often we want to sit there and not face the challenges. As parents, God has chosen you to be the parent of your child. You realize that? Parent your child. Step up when it's hard. "Oh, but Brother Doug, I want to be my child's friend." Your child doesn't need a friend. He needs a parent. Okay? Face that giant. Your marriage. Be the husband that God has called you to be. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. Be that kind of man. Be the giant killer. Stand up and say, "I'm not going to cower down anymore and let Satan run and ruin my life." That's the point. Be the giant killer. Oh, David showed up. The call's gone out every day. And David, he's been back at his father's home and he's been keeping the sheep. My friends, David is sent by his father. He says, "Listen, your oldest brothers are down here with Saul and they're fighting the Philistines. I want you to go see how they're doing." So David says, "Okay, here we go." He goes down and he meets with his... He gets there and meets with his older brothers. And he gets there just in time to see the show. He sees as Israel's army is belittled. I defy the armies of Israel. Come on, send your best man. The challenge is made and David stands in amazement. Absolutely amazed as the armies of Israel flee. And it bothered him. It stirred David's heart. David heard the challenge. He watched everyone flee and he speaks to the men of Israel and says, what's going on here? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Israel ran. Saul's in hiding. Nobody is willing to do anything. And David said, all right, make a long story short. David said, all right, I'm the guy. We're not having this. This guy, this uncircumcised Philistine, will not defy the armies of the living God. You know, I find it really interesting that in 40 days, everybody got used to running. And nobody seemed to be bothered by it anymore. Did you notice that? Cool. The Goliath come out, we all run, it's over. We'll face the same thing tomorrow. But David was stirred. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, it's tragic that we're not bothered by things anymore. The reason we're not fighting the battles, the reason we're not standing as men and women of God against the giants is because it doesn't bother us. Let me ask you a question. How many people, or does it bother you that people are going to hell? How many people have you witnessed to? You see? We're not bothered. David saw the giant. He said, and he wasn't struck by fear. He was struck by, this can't be happening to the people of my God. It's not okay. I'll go fight him. So David, he volunteers. And his brother Eliab hears his volunteering, and Eliab begins to scold David. See, David's a younger brother. Eliab's the older brother. And David said, why are you here, David? Or Eliab tells David this, why are you here? I know you've come, you just come to see the battle. Where are those few sheep you're supposed to be caring for? I know your insolence. I know your wickedness of heart. I know you're just here out of a proud, ugly heart. You know why Eliab was so upset? Eliab was so upset because David was willing to do things that he wasn't willing to do. Have you ever noticed? A lot of times people who are not willing to face the giants don't want anybody else to do it. You'll hear such things, well, they're trying to run the church. Yeah. You know what the recipe for a spiritual hero is? A giant killer? It starts with confidence. Not confidence in yourself, but confidence in the God that you serve. Confidence that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You add to that confidence faithfulness. Faithfulness that says, I'll do whatever it takes to ensure that my God is honored. And you will have a spiritual hero. And you will have victory over the giants. David is scolded. But it didn't seem to matter. He still said, I'll face the giant. So they take him before Saul. And Saul is skeptical. Saul says, listen, David, you're a boy. You're a boy. You're not able to fight this guy. He's been a warrior ever since he was a boy. You're just a child. David answered and said, while I kept my father's flock, so while I was out in the field keeping my father's flock, bears and lions would come in and they'd take the sheep. When they'd come in, they'd take the sheep. I would go and I would get them and I would attack them. And I like the way he puts it. You can read about it. He said, I would grab the lion by the beard and slay him. He said, Saul, I kill the lion and the bear. He said, but the Lord who delivered me from the lion will deliver me also from the Philistine. And he said, I'll fight him. You know what David's problem was? His brother scolded him. Saul's problem is, oh, you can't do it. But you want to know what David's problem was? He didn't know any better. You know what I'm saying? He did not know any better. He thought, with God, all things are possible. Imagine that. And he truly believed that. He truly believed as long as he was faithful to God, God would be faithful to him. Do you believe that? I mean, really. You know, isn't it interesting sometimes to watch new converts? They come in and they're all excited and they want to tell everybody about Jesus and they're all fired up and ready to go and until they get a dose of us. And then we look at them and we smile and we say, oh, they'll get over it. You ever notice that? See, the problem is they don't know any better. Oh, that we don't know any better, but that God truly will do what He says He'll do. You know, we become the skeptics. We become the scowlers. And it's because we really don't believe. Do you believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that He will do anything? Do you believe you can defeat any giant? It does not matter what that giant is, just as long as it's within the will of God. Then we have no excuse to sit idle as God's children. I want to tell you, we should be witnessing rascals. And you know why we don't witness? Because we're afraid. We're afraid we'll upset people. We're afraid we'll say something wrong. We're just afraid it makes us nervous. Do you believe God? You know what God said? You should be witness to me. And I'll be with you always. The Great Commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always. Do you believe God is with you? Why sit and do nothing? Has God been leading you into ministry? Maybe you're the one that's been called to work with youth or a particular Sunday school class, or you know, and you've just been putting it off because you're afraid. Let me challenge you. God's still God. He's the same God of David. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the same God that spoke this universe into creation. Oh, that we don't know any better than to believe God at His word. Then let's get to the defeat of the giant. You know what the point to the battle is? Well, we come to the time of the battle, and Saul gives David his armor. He says, David, I want you to wear this armor. So David tries it on. You got to understand, you take some young teenage young boy and put a full suit of armor on. That's kind of like David was. He's walking around like, man, I can't even walk in this stuff. So he takes off the armor. And you know what he takes? He takes 5 stones, a shepherd's bag, and a little old sling. And he says, I'll go meet Goliath with the tools that I know work. The point is this. Friends, it's not about who you are. It's about who you know. You want victory to face the giants? Your victory is going to come from the Lord. It's not going to come because of the great things that you are and the great things that you have. It's going to come because of the great God you serve. And that's the point that we need to take, you know, in facing the giants. Which leads us to the purpose of the whole thing. Why? Why? I love the battle. Oh, David, he goes out and he comes to face that giant and he begins to run toward that giant, and Goliath begins to run toward David, and Goliath begins to curse David by his gods. Death to you by the power of Dagon. I just hear it, you know. He's cursing David, and David's running toward Goliath, and he's yelling at Goliath, "You come to me with spears and swords, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of Israel." And boy, they're ready to clash, and David's on his way. He reaches into his pocket, puts that stone in the sling, and he begins to sling it while he's running, and just at the right time he lets that baby go. The Bible says that stone sunk into Goliath's forehead and he fell face to the ground. And verse 50 says, David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. David won. And you know why David won? Because he believed in his God. You want to know what the purpose of the whole thing was? Here's where you really get it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. This was the reason for the battle, so people would know something. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. The point of the battle, the purpose of the battle, was so that everybody would know who God is. Okay? Here's why it's so important that you face the giants, so that everybody knows who your God is. Okay? So that everybody can see the glory of your God. Here's why it's, you know, this building ministry that we're on the edge of beginning. Why is it so important? It's not important but so that we can have really cool facilities for the people to look at and say, "Wow, that's a really nice building." No. It's important so that people can see who our God is. Okay? That's the point. Why is it important for you to stand and face the giants that you face as a parent, as a worker at your job, as a church member being active in your church? Why is it so important? So that people can look at you and say, "I know it's got to be His God, because it sure can't be Him. That's way above what He's capable of doing." You realize that's when serving God gets fun, right? When you start doing things you can't do. I've said this before. I'm not really interested in doing things I can do. I'm interested in seeing what God can do through us. You see, that's where it becomes glorious. My challenge to you today is, don't be a spectator. Don't be the person that when the giant comes, whatever that giant is, that you run, "Oh, I can't, I won't, I, you know," and you make excuses and all. What? No. My question to you is, how great is your God? And if you truly believe in the greatness of your God, you'll take the stands in this life that you need to take. Otherwise, it's all talk. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something. You need to be saved. This life will not last forever. And eternity is for real. You'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. The choice is yours. Today, make that choice. Jesus gave His life so that you could have eternal life. Maybe you're here today, you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Maybe that's your giant. Hey, take your stand today. Take your stand today. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's you for church membership. Maybe it's a battle that's going on in life right now. Here's what I know. As long as you run, the giant will never go away. It's time to take your stand. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the example of David. I pray, Lord, that you will just give us a zeal, Lord, for your work, a desire to fight the giants, that we may see great victory. Lord, I pray that in this service this morning, you knowing every life and every heart, I pray that you will just provide the strength, the wisdom, the things needed, that decisions will be made in this invitation for your glory. Lord, we love you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.